We conclude our week of housing conversations with homeless advocate Paul Bowden of the Western Regional Advocacy Project. His organization is working on right-to-rest legislation that will stop homeless people from getting in trouble for lying down or sitting in public spaces. Here are Bowden and host Jeff Riley.
Paul Bowden, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange. You've been at this for a long time, dating back to your own homelessness at age 16. What happened?
Mine was the more typical experience of when we thought about homelessness back in the days. You know, my mom died. My dad was a schmuck. And he kicked us out and sold the house and moved away with his girlfriend, that kind of story. What it did in my mind was it opened up a, like, this was suburban Long Island, New York upbringing.
Well, I'm from Levittown, so I know the area.
Alcoholism and all that stuff, but it was awakening that there are two Americas. There is the America that the white privileged people in the suburbs are taught is what's real. And then there is the America where a growing minority of our people live, which is in the SROs, in the quote-unquote ghetto neighborhoods, in the public housing buildings. And for the last 40 years, from the Reagan Revolution to today, we've wiped all those places to smithereens. The white reflux of coming back to the cities from the suburbs. We have just decimated low-income neighborhoods, over almost 487,000 public housing units that existed in the early 80s and no longer exist today. We have just gone on a massive gentrification and displacement campaign to rid local communities of the presence of poor people, disabled people that are indigent, people of color that are indigent, and homeless people.
We
and
had
it's
a, we had a
devastating impact.
Mm-hmm. We had a question from a listener earlier in the week who had a question about specifically the kinds that you mentioned, the SROs, the single room occupancy. And the question actually was, you know, what happened to the flop houses we used to have? And what you're saying is those are all gone. And any of the other remedies that used to house people cheaply, temporarily, off the radar?
And or just priced out of our range. When I was coming up in the early 80s, 83 is when I finally stopped feeling sorry for the little victim that I was and started thinking about other people, and I've never been homeless again since. But at that time, I could get an SRO room in the Tenderloin for $250 a month. It's now about $1,400. And it used to be that these units would match what the welfare payments were. So if you were getting general assistance, they call it here, welfare in other places, you could pretty much guarantee you were going to at least have a roof over your head. Might have been funky. The bathroom may not have been the cleanest down the hall, but there was a roof over your head so that you weren't sleeping out in the streets. That all changed. And Section 8, where it was project-based and did mixed income, that got wiped out. Public housing got wiped out. The welfare reform, 300,000 people lost their Social Security benefits and only about 100,000 of them got back on in 1998 over the course of a night. Like, these are systemic, deliberate, neoliberal, racist policies that were being that have started in the Reagan Revolution and have continued unabated. Hope 6 was about as racist and classist as you could ever possibly get. And that was Clinton. So this isn't as simple as, oh, well, if we just did this or did that, the homeless people would fix themselves. The people that are living out in our streets are the end result of vicious, deliberate economic and social policies made at the federal level. And we think that we're going to case manage and intake and homeless managed systems and Now we're doing shelters without walls, and we call them sanctioned encampments. When I was coming up, we did shelters with walls, and we called them shelters. And the criminalization of us being out in the street really started to kick in, because now, theoretically, there was a place we can send you. So now, loitering, standing still, sitting on a sidewalk, laying down in a public space, sleeping, God forbid, in a public space, is camping or blocking the sidewalk or impeding traffic. And we go to jail, and the people that set these economic policies have think tanks named after them. It's just ludicrous. And it's why 40 years later, since the advent of FEMA funding shelters, 40 years later, the stuff's worse than it's ever been.
Paul Bowden is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of RAF, the Western Regional Advocacy Project, obviously working with homeless people for a very long time. You describe the kinds of laws that keep people from loitering and spending time on the sidewalks in the same breath as Jim Crow laws, anti-Okie laws, ugly laws, all the same kind of thing, you think?
They have the absolute exact same intent. We want to remove your presence from our local area. And sundown towns, don't let the sun set on you here. This is Roseville, California. Like this, these are deliberate laws targeted against specific members of the community. Ugly laws was diseased, maimed, or mutilated so as to be unsightly. Like very, very anti-Okie laws we've heard of thanks to Grapes of Wrath. Like, these are very specific laws that on the books seem to apply to all people. No one can camp, and they call it camping, which is freaking insulting. We did not decide to go camping as a basis of the Reagan Revolution. So, like, by having these laws, everybody sits, everybody stands still, everybody lays down, everybody sleeps, everybody eats. But when you make those activities illegal in public spaces, you can sick your police force and your private security systems that are growing in mass against targeted members of your community. I have never seen a family sitting on a sidewalk outside of Union Square after shopping for a whole morning get warned or ticketed or cited or arrested by a police officer. And you're never going to see it. So, outside of job sites, you see people hanging out, sitting on the sidewalk, having lunch all the time. So it's not like we're the only people that stand still, sit down, lay down, sleep in a park on a Sunday afternoon. You see a lot of drunk yuppies in San Francisco sleeping it off on a Sunday afternoon. You never see them go to jail. It's discriminatory enforcement targeted at specific members of the community, and it's got to stop at some point. We've got a long history of doing it. We're calling the question and pushing the Right to Rest Act. Even though we've lost 9 times in a row, we will continue to push it because it doesn't matter how many times they say no, so long as the last thing they say is yes.
Is there a solution, you think, that satisfies everyone from, you know, the homeless people who are looking for refuge and, for example, the business owner who wants to get in the door in the morning?
Think of it as a human rights issue and base your program methodologies, base your priorities. Like, you would think that families would be a real priority. You would think disabled people would be a real priority. You would think addressing poverty would be a paycheck out of being poor for poor people. Like, there's nothing rocket science about caring about fellow human beings and about running a decent quality emergency short-term shelter program while we as a community are building and developing the housing. And there's plenty of models. And people talk about, oh, look at all this beautiful that was built during the WPA. They weren't any more talented or special than we are today. It was a mindset that we're pouring federal funding and local funding and state funding into the community to address poverty. The number one target for those paychecks should sure as hell be the poor people themselves.
So
we don't do that. Poverty's become a major industry in this country. Foundations are a major industry in this country. Homelessness has become a multi-billion-dollar industry, and the only people that ain't benefiting from that funding is the unhoused community members themselves. That's ludicrous.
Paul Bowden is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of the Western Regional Advocacy Project, working, as you heard, for legislation that that does not criminalize being homeless and on the streets. So come back to what you were just talking about, though, the homeless industrial complex. Who benefits from that? You're saying everybody, other than the homeless people.
The whole thing, the one real downside of the war on poverty in the 60s was the creation of the nonprofit, the 501c3 IRS system. And that now, if we're going to address poverty in America, it's a matter of charity. And we've set up foundations doing well by doing good. They only got to give out 7% of the interest they earn, 93% they keep. And you would think they were God's gift to America. They're making money off of this. United Way and all the money they make. Salvation Army, the billions of dollars they make. Like, everybody's making money off of other people's housing and poverty status except the unhoused and the poor people. And that's a real building into the mindset of they are dysfunctional. Let us get them to fit back into society. Society created the structural norms that have given us this level of poverty, this level of lack of access to decent education and health care. So it's society that needs to be transformed to fit back into serving human beings. And it's just incredible. We spend $200 billion a year subsidizing housing for homeowners, and we call it economic stimulus. And there's no budget. It's whoever applies and qualifies gets it. There's no waiting list. There's no intakes. It's $200 billion a year in money that we tell people, hey, yeah, you owe it, but keep it because we're trying to subsidize your housing. We do $30 billion for poor people, and we screen the hell out of whether or not they're worthy, and we put them on 5- and 10-year waiting lists. It makes no sense except from a neoliberal perspective.
All right, so this gets to really the nub of it all about change, and as I suspected in the 2 minutes we got left, it is not about just political change. You're talking about societal change being necessary.
I'm talking about put some human context into human beings. Treat people like they're freaking human beings and then set up systems, because why have a governance at all if it isn't a governance that really cares about having a healthy, well-educated, well-housed, living wage community? Like, you would think that benefits everybody. And we don't want to see poor neighborhoods, you know, cleaner, whiter, and brighter and more expensive and then say, wow, we really fixed that neighborhood up. We want to see the people that are living there today to be able to continue to live there as we improve the conditions. I've seen so many times in low-income neighborhoods where all of a sudden it gets gentrified and now there's speed bumps in front of the school. Why weren't those speed bumps there before? Oh, it was different kids going to that school before. That's the mindset that's created the situation that we're dealing with right now. And that's the mindset that needs to change in order to come up with a governing structure that makes sense and works for everybody.
About a minute left. Baby steps, though. Without getting into big societal change all at once, what's the first step in just helping people get off the streets?
Well, one, we could stop criminalizing their existence on the streets in non-obstructive manners. And two, we could do a really aggressive hiring program and say, you know what? Homeless people can do outreach with other homeless people. Homeless people can clean up encampments. Homeless people can run goddamn shelters. I've run shelters. I only know one program where my friend who slept next to me at the shelter at Hospitality House here is now the executive director of the facility. So that shouldn't be so unusual. So I would say the immediate first step is use the money to address poverty to hire poor people so you have less people living in poverty.
All right. A lot of steps ahead beyond that, obviously.
I would say one or two for sure.
Yeah. Paul Bowden, the executive director of the Western Regional Advocacy Project, or RAP, working in the West to try to get things easier for homeless people and for the rest of society to understand their needs. Thanks so much again for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
I love coming on the show. Thanks for having me.